Hi, this is Mike Miller, and you're on the Harmony Street Show. And I have as my guest, original founding member of the Bon Airs, Mr. Mike Palladino. Let's listen to the Bon Airs. Wow, were they great.
The angels sang when you return to me, and now I'm filled with joy, for you are back with me. The angels sang when you returned to me, and now I'm filled with joy, for you are back with me. I was so alone, dear, yearning night and day. It's so good to have you home, dear. And now I'm filled with joy, for you are back with me.
Hi, Mike. How you doing? How you doing, good buddy?
Michael, how are you? And great to be here. And you're right. Good friends are good friends.
Well, we've been friends for a long time, and we've exchanged pleasantries. We've exchanged music. We've exchanged creativity. And as you well know, the Doo-Wop Jukebox is the premier site on the Internet for finding, learning about, archiving and hearing the best doo-wop tunes, the most obscure doo-wop tunes, and I am tickled to be represented on that site. It's just a pleasure to know you and to have your respect.
Well, Michael, I can't say enough, but same here. Also, that doo-wop jukebox, I've kept that up for quite a few years, and
right.
You know, it's all about the music. So that's, you know, I was asked by the by many collectors of why I should, you know, a database. And I had told them no, because I feel that most of the people will play the music,
right,
not looking for a certain song.
Uh-huh.
They'll play the song, you know, that they see.
Right.
And that's the way I kept it all these years.
Which is wonderful. And I know you and I have discussed it, but it gets so many hits, and, you know, it's just amazing how it's become the mecca for this music.
Well, yeah, it's a job of passion. I wouldn't even call it a job, you know. I think over 2 million hits now on it.
Which is amazing. And, you know, I'll tell you, it is a passion because really, I mean, nobody's paying you to do it. But basically, people are benefiting from it, and you know, you do it from your heart. I happen to know this to be a fact.
Yeah, with those many hits on there, I have a lot of offers to advertise. And if you notice, there is really absolutely no advertisements on there at all, except for if they want to buy a shirt, that's fine.
Right.
But there's no banners, there's no advertisers, any companies, there's no classifieds, it's just the music.
Yeah, which
is, you know, and that's the way I want to keep it.
Yeah, which is great. And, you know, I live in Florida, you know, where Southern Florida, where there are a lot of baby boomers, and, you know, they hang on to the music and they love their music. But, and people say, well, it's dying out. But I also know that there are a generation of younger people in their 40s that still know the words to "Will You Still Love Me Tomorrow" because it was passed down from their parents.
Yeah, and that's I can see that. I see a lot of that now. You know, especially on Facebook, with the show that I do, I have a lot of, you know, I got people 11, 12, 13 years old listening to the show.
Oh yeah,
great.
That's amazing. So Michael, let's talk about the Bon Airs a little bit. People that are aficionados of doo-wop know that the Bon Airs are probably on the short list of about two or three groups that are considered the premier a cappella groups that had the sweetest sound. And let me tell you, they really made some sweet noise for a bunch of white guys.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. And we really, you practice 3, 4, 5 nights a week, 2 or 3 hours a night. I mean, there's no excuse not to sound, you know, better than the average bear. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it just, you know, when we started out, we were white bread.
Right.
And then we decided to go to a blacker sound, and apparently that caught on, because that's how we're known today.
Right.
Was by that, you know, that those the harmonies that we got out there, you know.
Right. Right. Well, you know, too, you know as well as I do that you could take 5 really good singers and put them in a room, and sometimes you don't get a blend. That sometimes you just get 5 good singers, and they don't play off of each other. They don't breathe together. They don't blend together. I mean, you really it's rare that you find everybody in the group fitting into their spot and making a sound. I mean, it's not just about good singers.
Yeah, you know, what I noticed, and like I said, I never really got involved asking other groups how they do this and do that and everything
right.
else. But I noticed that when we got on the stage, and if somebody wasn't feeling right, you know, we were at that point where somebody else could actually take those parts.
Right.
And you know, if I wasn't, if I wasn't high that night, if I was doing a tenor,
right,
I could do in the bass. Lavatelli would do bass. Dennis would do bass. Or baritone, or tenor. It was amazing.
Well, when you live together as a musical family, you know what's coming all the time. And, you know, I've had groups where I've done that too, where, you know, it's just, you know, you catch somebody's eye and that little pleading look says, take the note from me.
Yeah.
And then you switch parts. And, but you really gotta be together a long time to be able to do that. And then when you get that tight with the groups, all somebody has to do is suggest a tune. And you chime off and you do it. It's not like you have to rehearse it or anything else. You just do it because it's almost an automatic thing.
Well, you know, when I left, we had close to 80 songs. And,
wow.
You know, and I think it was like 20 something years that we were together.
Right.
But like you say, the longer you live with these people, the longer you sing with them, you know each other's style. And you know each other's blend, and even though you are a pretty good singer, you know, this is what happens. I'm not a lead singer. I'm a background guy. I can harmonize with anybody, anytime.
Right.
But I don't profess to be a lead singer. I don't like to lead. I like to harmonize.
I got you. And you know, it's a question of you just hear the changes. I mean, that's almost innate. And it's a birthright thing, you know. You hear them or you don't. And the same thing about doo-wop, you know. Not every good singer has a feel for doo-wop because, you know, doo-wop is a very special genre.
Yeah, it is. It is. And like you say, when you get to be that experience, like yourself, you can actually hear notes 5 bars down the road.
Right.
How it's supposed to sound.
No,
you know?
I hear you.
And it's amazing. It really is.
No, I hear you. So let's talk about how you got started. I mean, did you wake up one day and just say to yourself, hey, you know what? I can sing. When did all that start for you?
Well, you know, it was, I went to high school in West New York, and I met this, he's, you know, still a great friend of mine, Pete Principe. He changed his name now to Pete Prince.
Okay.
And he was singing Frankie Lyman songs.
Right.
Never forget this. He was on the football team, and I was too far away. I couldn't play football because I was taking two buses every day. But all these fellas lived in West New York, and that's
right.
where they hung out and everything else. And when I got there from Bergen County,
right.
I remember him sitting on the wall, and I remember the football player. We were freshmen, and the senior guys would tell him, "Listen, kid, let's have some Frankie Lyman stuff."
Uh-huh.
And he really sounded great, you know. And then
right.
a couple of guys would chime in, and I said, "Well, I'm in this class. Let me just try it and see what the heck I can do."
Right.
And I just fell in with them. And, you know, that's how it started from there. If I didn't go to that high school, who knows, you know.
And this was in Jersey, probably not far from Palisades Park.
Yeah, this was in West New York, New Jersey.
Right.
Palisades Amusement Park was about 4 miles away.
Right.
Palisades Park, where I lived, was about 5 miles away.
Right.
And this was in 1957.
Right. And so, enlighten me. What did you call the group at that time?
Well, you know, Pete it was called the Princetones at that time.
Makes sense to me.
Yeah, because, you know, what did I know? I didn't really care. I just wanted,
right.
I enjoyed it, you know, it was one of these things. But
right.
Pete had a great voice. I mean, really, really unbelievable.
Right.
And then we found a couple of guys in the school, and we went from there. We called the Princetones.
Right.
And we recorded a few things at 14, 15 years old.
Uh-huh.
Went like everybody else does. You go to, what was it, 1650 Broadway over there, the Brill Building, and
right.
you walk around. We walked to a lot of, we brought, we went over and paid for a demo.
Right.
And we cut four songs, and I really don't want to mention the one song's name because that was written on a street corner. And it was sung by this group, Prince,
right.
In a show in St. Cecilia's High School back
right.
in early 58.
Right.
And in the show was the teenagers.
Right.
But Frankie Lyman wasn't with them anymore.
Right.
And 6 months later, this song came out. So I don't even want to mention the song, but.
Well, it's my show, so if you feel you would like to mention it, you know, we can do that. And if you'd rather that it remained a mystery, you know, that's all right, too.
I don't think it's really a mystery. What we did was we on a corner, we took ba-da-da-bum-ti-ay,
right.
ba-da-da-bum-ti-ay,
right.
and turned it around to ba-da-ba-da-bum-ti-ay-ti-ay. So that's how that song started.
All right, well.
And you know the name of that song because it's very popular.
Right.
And since we didn't get any credit for it, I really don't like to, you know, get into that area. But anyway, that's.
Right.
Where we got the idea from.
Well, there were so many stories like that in this music. I mean, you know, we could go on and on and on and on about that. And, you know, you and I know all of the stories, you know, that.
Oh, yeah.
Like that. But here you were at 14 or 15 years old doing it the same way I did, man. I was with a group called the Islanders, 1961, 62, Relic Records, the best of acapella. I've told this story to Don K. Reed and whoever will listen. You know, we used to drive around in the car, the four of us as young guys, and we'd drive from town to town, sometimes to Jones Beach, and we'd just get out there and we'd just sing until our throats were sore.
Yeah.
And wherever we went, Nathan's, you know, the mall, we used to rehearse sometimes in Miles' shoe store window because it has a little echo, and it was after they closed, and that little area in there caused an echo, and we draw like 100 people sometimes on a weeknight. Amazing.
Oh yeah. I can equate to that because, like I say, you know, we sang in the street corner. Everybody, you, me.
Right.
I don't know what it is, but it was a great time.
Right.
You know, we'd go to West New York because that's West New York. If you're familiar with West New York, it's a big, big, long, long shopping street.
Right.
Carolina Avenue. And all the stores have vestibules.
Uh-huh.
And there were groups all over the place singing. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And everybody walked by, they threw you quarters, dimes, nickels, you know.
Right.
And it was great. You just sing and sing and sing. Who tried to outdo the other group on the other side of the street?
Yeah.
It's just great. Everybody was friends, you know, but it was the music. It was the harmony.
Right.
Was the deal.
Right. Tell me about the No-Tones.
The No-Tones, the No-Tones was Peter's. That was another group Peter was in.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, he started that group after I had left.
Oh, okay.
And as far as I remember, you know, that's how that group was. But Peter continued on after I had left with Lavatelli,
right.
You know, and these other guys.
Right.
But Peter, he continued.
Well, so how did the Bonaires come to be? In other words, if you can go back that far, you know, tell me on that particular day that that the Bonaires were born.
Well, we were, the Princetones, we'd sing a lot of, I never went to too many proms myself because
right.
We always sang at proms, you know.
There you go.
So, yeah, you know what that's about. So we get down to a prom in Richfield, New Jersey, and we're singing down there, and Lavatelli's down there, and it's this other fellow, Scotty, and this other fellow, Dennis Diamond, there.
Right.
And it was just about the time that Peter and myself were starting to split up because he was... You know, he was in West New York, and this is about 1960 now.
Right.
And, you know, it was going to be a little too much for me to travel back and forth, you know, even though I was still in school.
Right.
And, you know, so in fact, I think Pete sang with us for a couple of shows.
Uh-huh.
But then I got involved with Lavatelli, and then we started singing through, you know, these guys. And these guys are very experienced. I mean, for
right.
as young as they were.
Right.
Because they had groups in Englewood, the Shades, and they sang with the Avons.
Right.
So they were, you know, pretty well, I mean, really, really had the good sound. So
right.
we got together and we started harmonizing like everybody else does. And then somebody heard us in Palisades Park, Willie Sambogner, and he said, listen, I got a guy that wants to do a demo. So we met this fella, Hilliard.
Okay.
Leonia, New Jersey. Big, big songwriter at that time.
Right. Bob Hilliard.
Bob Hilliard, right.
Yeah.
And we went to his house. Willie was good friends with him, went to his house in Leonia, New Jersey. That's where he lived, next door to Palisades Park.
Okay, I know where that is. My parents lived in Fort Lee in Mediterranean Towers for years.
Right, right. So that's right down the hill.
Right.
Right. So we went to Bob Hilliard's house, and he said to me, you guys are unbelievable, you know. So, you know, thank you very much. He said, I got a song that I just wrote, and I want you, my partner, to hear this. So we sang over the phone a couple of songs that we did. I don't
right.
know what they are now, what they were. But he says, I got a song for you, Young Wingers Can Fly.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, he says to his partner, I want these guys to do this song. And his partner says, oh, we have Ruby under contract, and
right.
they got the name, so we have to go with Ruby. So
uh-huh.
he said to us, listen, I have to go by what he says because he's right, and it's the business the way it is. He said, but I will pay to produce an album for you guys.
Uh-huh.
So that's what he did. And we went and did about 13 songs, all a cappella, a lot of flamenco stuff.
Ooh. teardrops. I remember when you fell from the eyes of my love. You made me reconsider what a fool I've been, and swear to go I'll stray no more by all the stars above. Golden teardrops, you haunt my memory. The reason you came was because of me. You made me sit right down and add up the score. So go back where you came from. She don't need you anymore. I never realized that I was unfair to a love that was really sincere. I never knew how much you really cared. So, darling, put away your tears. I'll never. No matter where you be, in a crowded room, on a busy street, or a cottage by the sea, until the end of time and throughout eternity. Teardrops for me, those golden teardrops for me, those golden teardrops for me.
FM, George, Denny, Richie, Ken, and Mike, the Bonaires on the Night Train Show.
And then we started bringing it around and finally end up with Neil Levinson.
Uh-huh.
And then we signed with Laurie. But we did go to Big Jim Gribble in Brooklyn.
Yeah, well, you know, as a matter of fact...
I had an appointment over there with him, yeah.
As a matter of fact, you know how close I am to Jimmy Gallagher, and because I see Jimmy all the time, and we eat lunch together and dinner together, and we've gotten together as a foursome, and you know, Jimmy talks about you, and he distinctly remembers being at Laurie and hearing and seeing the Bonaires, and you know, he speaks very highly of the Bonaires.
Hi, this is Jimmy Gallagher of the Passions. And you're listening to the Harmony Street Show with Mike Miller.
Oh, yeah. Well, listen, the Passions, as far as I'm concerned, that was one of our, you know, one of the, I mean, I love this stuff. I love the music, always did, you know.
Right.
I never worked with Jimmy. Right. Hopefully one of these days we'll get a shot together. But, you know, the Passions, I just was great. In fact, we're going to try, my group now, we'll try to do one or two of their songs.
Right.
And, but yeah, you know, I Only Want You and Sweet As End. Remember Sweet As End?
Right.
You know? That was one of my favorites, those two songs. You know,
oh, absolutely.
Great stuff. You know, and we did an audition for Gribble.
Right.
And I think we even sang, Just to Be With You.
Uh-huh.
and, you know, but I don't know what happened there, but we happened to fall into Neil Levinson. He signed us right away.
Right. Well, you know, Marv Kalfin is also a good friend who wrote Just to Be With You. He lives down the street from me, and it's all like one big happy family here. And,
yeah.
You know, it's just, it's terrific to just, be with and talk with and surround yourself with the people that were so important to this music. It's like a little doo-wop mecca here in the Boca, Wellington area.
Yeah, well, see, when I retired, I had built a house in Delray Beach.
Uh-huh.
And I was retiring there. And, you know, I was all set to retire. I didn't know at that time that all the guys that sang
right.
from New York and New Jersey and Connecticut, we're at Pennsylvania, all went down to Florida.
Yeah.
I had no idea, you know, because I sold that place in, I think, 1989. I had it for 10 years.
Right.
And I moved to Texas because my wife had family here, and that's where I had to go.
Right.
But, yeah, who knew? You know what I mean? I'd still be singing down there today.
That's right.
But
It was just you and the Velvets for a long time. You, the Velvets, and Archie Bell.
Yeah, Archie Bell, he's still working. He's in Houston, and the Velvets are up in, I don't know if it's, oh, God, I can't think of the name of the town right now. The college, Texas Tech is up there.
Yeah.
What is it?
No, I'm not sure. But I will say that we did a show when I was with Georgie's Mystics. We did a show with Virgil Johnson, and he had four brand new high school students with him, as he did it all those years ago, and these were all young high school students.
That's right.
With him.
He was a teacher, right? He was a teacher. At school.
Exactly, or a teacher, an assistant principal, or whatever, and he just grabbed four students, went into the studio, and you know what a giant hit Tonight Could Be the Night was.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Great. Just great stuff.
You know, I
wish my kids, were around at that time.
Right.
You know, it was just a great time. I mean, you can go over in Harlem, sing on 125th Street.
Right.
I mean, just get over there, and I can still hear the stillness of the night,
uh-huh.
Harlem.
Right.
And singing on a corner. You know, whoever wanted to come by and chime in and jam, it was unbelievable. Across from a Big Ribs place, which I forgot the name of it.
Right.
It was just unbelievable, you know? Unbelievable.
Right. I know what you mean. We're getting back to the Bon Airs now. Tell me about Steve Dubuff.
Steve Dubuff was Neil's partner.
Uh-huh.
And Neil had a big hit at that time. He had Denise came out.
Right.
And I don't know if Steve was on that as a co-writer or a producer.
I don't know, but that was actually produced by the Tokens.
Written by Neil.
Right.
And I was under the impression he did produce that because he paid for all that recording.
Yeah.
He had his own studio, Neil.
Right. Because
we recorded, you know. Then we went to Columbia. We recorded the Columbia.
From what I understand, some of the Tokens played instruments on that tune.
Could be. I mean, I didn't get too far to ask him about that because he was more in tune to us at that time. They had already made their deal, you know.
Yep.
And they did very well with that song.
Yep.
And we missed it by about 4 months, to tell you the truth.
That always happens. I mean, I know it. Look at the story with the Mystics and Teenager in Love, where that song was written for the Mystics, and Dion said, "I don't think so." And so they owed him a tune, and Pomus and Schumann actually wrote Hushabye over the weekend because they owed the Mystics a tune, two number one tunes.
Yeah, well, see, but you see, that was early on.
Right.
We just happened to hit at the wrong time, like everything else. In other words, the Duprees.
Right.
We were in Columbia, and the Duprees, I remember this guy, Steve Vinay. He was the A&R man for Columbia.
Right.
And he said that, listen, the Duprees are going to get this side of Joni James, I think it was.
Right.
Have you heard or whatever?
Yeah.
And we're going to give you the flip, My Love, My Love. Now,
uh-huh.
Have you heard? I think that was the first one that came out. And I think it was Joni James, but I'm not even sure at this time. But
right.
Anyway, I got a call from Germany from my cousin.
Right.
That said, you guys are unbelievable. You're on your way. I said,
uh-huh.
Jerry, that's not us.
Wow.
That's not us. So we did come out with My Love, My Love. See, Warner was big at let's copy this, let's copy that. My Love, My Love, if you listen to it, you can hear something like the Times, what do you call, So Much in Love. It's got the tenor in the background.
Yep.
Laurie was notorious for that.
My love.
Hey, look, I know what it's like to be picked with a bullet in Cashbox and Billboard because my group, the Islanders, we had a tune called Where the Lights Are Bright. We got picked with a bullet, and that particular tune came out the same week as Kind of a Drag. They also got a bullet by the Buckinghams. Theirs went to number one, and ours fizzled.
Yeah, well, you know, we had a bullet, too, in both magazines.
Yep.
And we were picked on Winds of the Week, and I'm driving down the street.
Wow.
You know, across the George Washington Bridge, and Pick Hit of the Week. You know, I almost fumbled into one of the pylons there.
I can imagine. Well, you know, so Murray played the tune, huh, and it won.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I remember that distinctly. It was between us and Fats Domino, and
wow.
They picked us because it was it was similar to, and it sounded like So Much in Love,
right,
which was a big hit at that time.
Right.
That's how we went, but... I forgot what I was going to say, and the other thing is, Perry Caused the Mercy, that was the guys that Laurie picked up.
Wow.
Jerry the Pacemaker,
right.
That was the end of us.
Wow.
That must have been the same time that you got hit with your thing.
Well, you know, I mean, times were changing, and, you know, so many groups, except for the Four Seasons and just a few others, you know, had to take a back seat to what was coming. So, who were the members of the Bonaires? Who were the original members?
The original guys, the original name was called The Difference.
Okay.
But Stephen A. said, no, you know, you guys sound sweet, so it's a sweet sound, and we're going to call you Bonaires, which is sweet sound in French. I had no idea. And I had no idea there was a group called the Bonaires already. I had no idea about that. And these guys were in a movie.
Right.
I had no idea about that. I didn't even know who they are to this day. And people even asked me, I said, no, that's not us, you know.
I'm surprised they haven't come out of the woodwork and said to you, hey, you know, what's going on?
Yeah, nobody said anything at all.
So the original guys from the Bonaires were who?
Dennis Diamond.
Right.
Myself. Scotty McCleary.
Right.
And George Lavatelli. That was the four of us. They're the guys that recorded on Laurie, and we're the ones that signed contracts for Laurie and Neil Levinson and Steve Dubois as producers.
Gotcha. Now, you know, I mean, there were so many tunes that the Bonaires did. What were some of your favorites? Give me your top three.
Well, I wasn't crazy about, My Love, My Love was fine, you know.
Right.
The Shrine was okay.
Right.
The Driving Along was okay. But, you know, this gets shoved on you. You have no say in the matter, you know?
Right.
But as time went by, the more I hear the song Blue Beat,
right,
that's the one that I like. And it seems to have, you know, a real good rhythm to it. And,
right.
And Steve wrote that. I mean, Neil wrote that.
Right.
And I even sang bass lead on that, which is really amazing. But
It
had a great beat to it.
Here's Ronnie Italiano, the head of UGHA, United Group Harmony Association. Ronnie did so much for groups during the time he was alive. Rest in peace, Ronnie. You were the man. Here's Ronnie I introducing the Bonaires.
On the next side, I'm going to break in a few times. It's super rare, although it's from 1963. Let me give you some background info on the group. Would you believe they're the Bonaires? They were formed in 1960. The original group consisted of four members. They were George Lavatelli, Mike Palladino, who are the only two original members left today. Also, Scotty McCleary and Dennis Diamond. They had three releases for the Rust label in 1963. My Love, My Love, The Shrine of Saint Cecilia, and the one I'm going to play for you. It was their last released on Rust. I'd like to thank George for letting me use it tonight. It's rare. Could even be considered the stormy weather of the 60s. The original Bonaires with Blue Beat.
From Jamaica way. Gotta get it cause it's here to stay. And all you do is move your feet to live on the Blue Beat.
Keep on moving now, don't you stop. You gotta dance till you're ready to pop,
pop.
And all you do is move your feet.
To
Today, the Bonaires consist of George Lavatelli, Mike Palladino, Dennis Ostrom, Richie Burns, and Kenny Fleming, and are considered the premier white group today, and justly so.
Go, go, go.
Come on, baby, and wings. Gonna be my movie queen.
Have you ever been to an oldie concert where the Bonaires are on the bill? Funny, time after time they steal the show. The big name groups get the big money, but the Bonaires bring the house down. George wants to dedicate this to you.
The musicians were unbelievable. You know, Trey Martin, all these guys, Artie Butler.
Yeah, and you know, Trey Martin, actually, you know, when you talk about it, he's one of our Facebook friends, isn't he?
Yeah, I talk to Trey all the time.
And what's funny is that, you know, my friend said to me, go on Facebook. I said, no, that's for kids. And what am I going to do on there? You know, it's like, who am I going to talk to? Whatever. And all of a sudden, I went on there, and people that I haven't spoken to or seen in 30, 35, 40 years are coming out of the woodwork and saying, hey, Mike, you know, how you doing? And I'm talking about musical people, musical connections, yeah. where it's just such a thrill to talk to these people again.
Right. And, you know, that, and Facebook, I have a business here that I do websites and everything. And people say, well, you know, you got the social media on Facebook. Right. Now, I'm not on there for the social media.
I know.
I don't go and solicit business.
Right.
I'm on Facebook for one purpose only.
Right.
To push the music and meet the singers that I never met.
I hear you.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
And that's what I love. I mean, it's great.
Well, I feel honored that I could have my small little grain of sand on, you know, in retrospect, in the doo-wop genre of music, which I think is the greatest, and just to be a tiny, tiny little part of that, to have heard some of my tunes back on the radio, to have made a little mark and been in shows with all of the guys that I idolized, and you know, we don't have to go through the list.
Yeah.
So many of them. I mean, I met Johnny Maestro probably in 1961, and it was at Clay Cole's World on Long Island. And you know, as I said, you know, to be introduced by Clay Cole, you know, when I had an a cappella group at that time, and to be on the same bill as Johnny Maestro in those days, that's when I first met John, and he's been one of my idols, you know, all through. And I spoke to him actually the day before he passed away.
Yeah, that's a real loss. Yeah, and I did a show. In fact, I did a show with Maestro in '63, I think.
Right.
You know, we did a lot of shows. You know, did you lose track of how many groups you sang, you know, on the same stage with?
Absolutely.
I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah, and it's amazing how many of them still sound like really, really good. I mean, Randy Sefuto, worked with him a year or two ago, was the last time. Still got it, you know. Larry still has it. And Terry Johnson is my neighbor, and we see them socially. And let me tell you, those Flamingos, that particular group, they are just sent from heaven and flawless. It's just amazing.
Right, we did a show. We opened here in San Antonio with them. It's a phenomenal. What a terrific guy.
Yep, humble and you know, and not only that, you know, when I was looking for a couple of tunes, when I interviewed Terry and I said, "Hey, Michael, you got any tunes by the Whispers?" You know, because I can't get a hold of it. Terry's first group in 1954. You said, "Sure." How many, you know, I'll give you all of them.
Yeah. Oh, incredible. I remember down in the, you know, I worked with them a long time ago, many, many years ago, but I remember distinctly now in 2007, we were at this big show in San Antonio. We reopened it for them.
Right.
And we were down in the dressing rooms down there.
Right.
And we're singing Golden Teardrops.
Right.
I mean, come on.
right?
You know, unbelievable.
Well, you know, it's funny.
And golden teardrops. Come on.
We were in the hallway for a show, and when I was doing Georgie's Mystics, and we were singing Just Warming Up, and I was singing Gloria, and Terry comes running over, and he started singing bass, and I said to him afterwards, "Can you imagine that? Mike Miller on lead, Terry Johnson singing bass for me." He said, "Hey man,
yeah.
I was happy to do it." He said,
"Unbelievable."
Said, hey.
And speaking of the Flamingos,
yeah,
we did a show. I don't know, with New York Academy of Music, and the Carey Boys were there. You know,
right.
That's what the
Jake and Zeke.
Yeah, and we had asked them because we were doing Golden Teardrops. We did that in a Norman Night show,
right?
On Night Train,
right.
We asked them, "Are you guys going to do?" Golden Teardrops, they said no, they were doing their other stuff. We asked them, "Do you mind if we..." "Oh, no, no." So they came down to hear us.
Wow.
They came into the wings to hear us, and one of the brothers, one of the cousins, who Zeke, I think it was Zeke,
right.
After we got off the stage, he said to us, which was like, I never forgot this, he said to us, "You ain't white boys." What a thrill that is.
Right.
You know what I mean? Singing this song with these guys listening to you, and him making a statement like that was just beyond belief, you know.
Well, you know, it's really...
I guess the Bon Airs were pretty good at that time, you know.
You know, it's funny because, you know, you talk about the groups, and, you know, so many of the groups were Italian that did this music, or, you know, they came from the R&B roots and whatever. But, you know, I was kid around with Jay Siegel, and he says, we were a bunch of Jewish guys from the neighborhood. And, you know, there's a few others, of course, Howie, Sandy, and Marty, from the Americans and whatever, but not many people realize that Ezekiel and Jacob and the Flamingos, you know, they were very religious Jewish guys, and they all had biblical names.
Yeah, and their sons carrying them on, carrying on from the Flamingos.
Yeah,
now.
That I know. Well, I think
they're all ministers, too.
Yeah, oh, sure. Well, Terry Buzzy Johnson's real name is Isaiah.
Yeah.
Another biblical name. So, I mean, you know, there it is.
Tremendous sound, just beyond belief, you know.
Yeah, and the other thing that I didn't realize about Terry, knowing him so well as I do, and he told me this, you know, on the interview, was the Flamingos were famous for all of their little guitar riff lead-ins for all of their tunes, you know, the most famous one being "I Only Have Eyes for You." That was all Terry.
I know that. Yes.
Terry played of those.
You're the one that told me all about that.
Yeah.
Amazing.
I mean, it's amazing to me.
You don't realize how talented these guys are.
And Terry, Terry also sang just about every part with the Flamingos. He did the floating falses. He did lead for the Flamingos. He sang all of it. He was all over them. He was very, and they will cop to the fact that Terry and his arranging was very instrumental in the Flamingos' sound. He arranged all of that stuff.
Yes, yes. And I didn't realize that until later on, either speaking to you or even speaking to Terry. I didn't realize how involved he was with all that music.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, that's why when he left the group and whatever, they realized that Terry was the one that was missing. It was like, you know, everybody always has that argument saying, you know, who was the major thrust of the Beatles? Was it Paul McCartney? Was it John? And, you know, most of the people that I talk to, they're real John Lennon fans. I was always a McCartney guy.
Yeah, so am I. You know, I agree with that.
You know, I mean, and I don't know why. I guess it just has to do with musical taste.
Yeah.
You know, but let's... fast forward a little bit, you know, to all of those years. You've been active all along in just, you know, keeping, you know, the musical balls, pardon the expression, the musical balls in the air, you know, and juggling that. I know you have a new group now. I know that, you know, you're very proud of the way that's coming along. And then there's also the Moonlights. Fill me in on that a little bit.
Well, you know, the Moonlights, when I moved to Texas in 1994, 95.
Right.
One of our dogs was having pups, and I remember, I just couldn't believe this one.
Right.
You know, I'm out in the garage, and we're, you know, waiting for the pups to come up.
Uh-huh.
And we had on the oldie station in San Antonio, at that time was 101, like New York, you know, winds.
Right.
With a CBS. Anyway, it's Kono here, and I'm hearing, what do you call, Shrine of Saint Cecilia.
Uh-huh.
I almost passed out.
Right.
Our home is a shambles, all I've treasured has gone. The town seems deserted, everyone so forlorn. A storm came from up above, but somehow it missed the shrine of Saint Cecilia. The bells in the chapel never ring anymore. The clock in the steeple can tell time as before. It seems so peaceful. Yeah. I kneel in my solitude and silently pray that heaven will protect you, dear, and there will come a day the star. The shrine of Saint Cecilia.
So I call the station and I'm talking to the DJ. And he almost passed out.
Right.
You know, so, you know, he said, well, you got to come up here next week, and we got to have a... So, you know, I became very friendly with him.
Right.
We're friends now. And I did a lot of shows up on, you know, just talk shows on that big station in San Antonio.
Right.
And that's how I met a group which I had no idea existed.
Right.
For the Royal Justice.
Uh-huh.
All right? They were the biggest group down here. Unbelievable, and the leader of this guy, Demas Gaza, wrote a lot of their stuff, and I happened to meet him, I'm sure that the listeners remember the movie Selena.
Right.
Okay, well, the Dinos, remember the Dinos?
Yes.
Well, this was all part of that deal, the Dinos, the Royal Jesters, all kinds of big groups down here.
Wow.
Sunny and the Sunliners.
Wow.
All groups down, big names down here.
Uh-huh.
I had no idea these guys were down here.
Right.
So, you know, I met them and Oscar and Demas and I think it was Felix. And nice guys, real nice guys. And then there was this fellow, Danny, that said to me, listen, you want to start singing? And I said, well, yeah, you know, I'll give it a shot. So I met, you know, Danny and I got together. But that was, I don't know, 2009 maybe or something.
Right.
I don't even know what year it was. And we started the group. But in the meantime... After years of I think 2004 or something like that, we started back in Demas.
Right.
As the, we were the Moonlights, but we backed them as the Royal Justice.
Okay.
And that's how we got to get pretty famous out here in San Antonio.
Right.
And all these years now, I have changed personnel. But now it seems like I got, you know, four guys that are really involved and really, you know, into it. And what's good to me, what's fine, is that, you know, and you know this yourself, when you're from New York, you can make a phone call to anybody up there that's been in the business.
Right.
And say, listen, I need a baritone for
right.
a show.
Right.
Yeah, no problem. You got 20 guys knocking on the door.
You bet.
Okay? Down here, doesn't happen.
Right.
So two of these guys, three of these guys, never sang the music before.
Uh-huh.
And here I am trying to teach them the New York style harmony.
Right.
And they're picking it up. So it really, you know, it's great. It really is great. And these guys came a long way. You know, we got about 40-something songs now.
You've sent me some stuff as you have nursed it and rehearsed it along the way, and, you know, it just gets better and better.
Yeah, and that's what we're doing. Well, you know, finally, everybody lives in Kerrville. That's the city that we're in now.
Right.
We used to have to travel to San Antonio. It was an hour and a half away. You know, we'd go two or three nights a week. It was got to be too much. I mean, right. I'm not a young kid anymore. But at least now everybody's in Kerrville. So we practice 2 days a week, and now they're very serious. So now we start getting stuff. In fact, we're doing a show July 4th, we're going to do Woo Woo Train. Could you imagine?
Yeah.
South Texas, a group doing Woo Woo Train?
Now, you're going to do it with music or without?
Oh, a cappella.
Wow.
You know, and I'm singing lead. Yeah, I mean, it's great. And they love it. They absolutely love it.
Well, you know, I mean, really, a good a cappella group can do almost anything, you know. When you get it tight, it's amazing the tunes that I've done a cappella with groups. You know, people say, "How do you do that a cappella?" You do it. You know,
you just do it. You just keep doing it until you get it right. You know,
every tune has its own little groove. You know, and what's amazing to me is, you know yourself, a cappella groups. How many groups and I'm talking about on record will start off in one key, and they kind of lose the energy in the middle of the song, and they end up like a half step down.
Yeah, half a key down, right?
Yeah, you know, whatever. And there's not too many groups. We did years ago when I had Harmony Street, a lot of times a group called Things to Come used to open up for us.
Okay.
And let me tell you, man, they hardly ever used a pitch pipe. They would get the key of the next song from the previous song, and, you know, you put a pitch pipe on them, and they always started and finished in the same key. They were amazing.
Yeah, that's really amazing. Well, the Bonnets did too. Now, this group here, once in a while, they dip down. And as far as my experience, and I tell the tenor,
right.
I said, the tenor is the guy that's going to bring it down. If he gets lazy,
you bet.
He's going to bring it down. So now they're concentrating. He's concentrating and to keep it. You think high, and you'll make it no problem.
Well, I've had this talk with BJ, and I've had this talk with Les Levine, and, you know, there's a lot of good basses out there, but, you know, when you have a bass in a group and you're featuring bass and you got that voice way out there, I don't care how great of a bass voice the guy has, if his intonation is off, let me tell you, it sticks out like a sore thumb. You can make the whole group sound like, you know, pretty like sour milk. If the bass's intonation is off, you can't hide it.
Oh, yeah, no. It's just, well, see, I was, when I first started, of course, I'm a natural baritone, but when I first started, I sang baritone. I went down to bass, but I sang a white bread bass.
Right.
You know? And the bond is, that wasn't really what we needed. And we got involved with Skip Jackson and the Shantons.
So right.
That was a genius, as far as I'm concerned. It was unbelievable. Anyway, we're singing, he produced a couple of songs for us. And I'm singing bass there, and he comes over to me. He says, "No. This is not the way we do it in the gospel world."
Right.
So he told me. He said, "We find the root, and that's where we stay."
Uh huh.
And he said, "You'll either be in line with the tenor,
right?
And that's where you stay." So I have taken that what he showed me, and that was, you know, back in the '60s, and I've used that ever since.
Right.
And,
well,
you
yeah.
know, and I like the sound that comes out of that because I'm in, it blends in better with the tenors.
Right.
And that's what I like, you know. There's no overpowering.
Right. No, I hear you. And the other thing is, you know, with a bass singer, as far as mixing the bass with Harmony Street, because I had three girls, as you know, we always mixed the bass into the mix rather than having it as a separate entity. It was kind of in the blend, kind of like the Skyliners did. I mean, the Skyliners didn't have a bass that was a separate entity. It was kind of in the mix. You know, if you took it away, you missed it, but it wasn't prominent. And then there were a lot of groups that used the bass as really a separate entity, where on stage it would be the bass on one mic, the lead on another, and then, you know, the background singers, you know, had a life of their own.
Well, that's what we do. I mean, that's what the Bon is. I mean, that's what we do. The lead has one, I take one, and then, in fact, when we recorded down here, we went to the studio, and the guy says, well, I want to do this. I said, no. That's not the way this is going to happen.
Right.
You want to put the three guys, the baritone, the two tenors on one mic, that's fine. The lead on the other mic, that's fine. But the bass cannot be on the same mic as these guys because he's got to do his thing.
You're right.
And that's the way it's got to be. What are you talking about? I said, well, take my word for it.
Uh-huh.
You know, he's got to stand alone.
Right.
You know. He knows when to come in, when to come out, when to do his riffs, when not. You can't do that if you're singing with four guys across on one mic.
Well, that was always the thing about the doo-wop shop. You know, you always had five guys on three microphones.
Yeah.
And so, you know, to get a room sound, I mean, Don would go into a frenzy in the first couple of tunes, like trying to, you know, EQ all three mics so that the room sound was great. And if you had a first tenor that blasted, you had to step him back a little bit. And then the other thing that always made me laugh was there was one mic in the corner that had lipstick on it. And I would say, what's this all about? And he would say, that was Deborah Wetzel's mic. She did the traffic in the morning on CBS.
Yeah.
And she would, like, you know, put her lipstick right on the mic.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, well, you know, again, the Bon Airs.
Yep.
We were the first white, you know, getting into the Skip Jackson teaching us or teaching me bass, and we went after the Moonglow sound.
Right.
Okay, or the Solitaires, whatever it was. We tried to emulate
the
best we could. And Bobby J heard us, and he brought us to Harlem.
Right.
And we were on WWRL.
Which was a great station. I mean, you're talking about Frankie Crocker, Hal Jackson, you know, the best of the best.
Yeah, they were on with Hal Jackson and Bobby J, and the thing was that we were the first white group.
Wow.
To sing live on that station. What does that tell you?
Wow.
You know, that's got to tell you something. You know, we had a pretty good sound at that time.
Well, you did a bunch of Solitaire covers, if I remember correctly, and you know, and
we didn't really write our own stuff. We preferred emulating the groups at the time because we could get the harmony better if we copied what they did. And the sound and blend was much better, you know?
Yeah, well, you know, the Islanders, we listened a lot to the Jive 5. We did all the Jive 5 material, you know?
Yeah. I played your song on my show.
Oh, I know.
I called you and told you.
Yeah. I know, you know, but it's all good stuff. Hey, Michael, you know, I want to thank you for getting behind most of the stuff that I've recorded, even the stuff that I did as Michael in the Dreams, where I'm doing all the parts. I mean, you know,
I got you on the doo-wop jukebox. I have a regular section there for you.
Yeah, I know that.
And I take anybody that's worth their salt. I'm not going to put garbage on. I mean, there's a lot
You're
of groups
right.
out there
I know.
Ever play. But anybody that sounds halfway decent or is good or worth their salt, I'll put them on that jukebox because that is a good vehicle.
Yeah.
You know, for these groups, I will not put. And I don't know if you're going to put. I will not put foreign groups on there.
All right.
But I don't believe that they have the inroads or have had the exposure or the, I can't even think of the word, to be put on there with all these groups.
I hear you.
On that website.
Oh, so you want to talk politics now, huh? That's okay.
No, it's not politics.
Yeah.
I feel. I mean, you know, I mean, I just feel that. They, you know, as good as, you know, as they could be.
Right.
I really don't think they have earned a place.
So they haven't paid their dues, you mean?
Exactly. That's right. That's right. Maybe 10 years from now, fine.
And that's fair. And that's fair to say because, you know, they're an awful lot. You know, there was a very fine line, Michael, between groups that were came from the same neighborhood as the hit groups that sang, you know, like on the same street corner, as to which groups made it and had hits and which groups only came close. Because, you know, it was all a question of the planets being lined up or just being the right place at the right time. But as far as talent goes, there were just as many talented groups out there that, that never made it. And you know how many tunes are on the jukebox with groups where you say, oh, my goodness, that tune is just the greatest tune in the world. But it wasn't a million-selling hit.
And that's why I do that.
Right.
So people can understand that. Wait a minute. There wasn't only the Passions in Brooklyn. There was 25 other groups in Brooklyn.
That's correct.
That were excellent.
And any one of them could have made it big.
That's right. That's right. But as far as these, you know, I mean, why don't they bring, you know, these guys over to England or to Spain or to France
right.
to do a show?
Right.
I mean, they want the real deal? Call up the Flamingos. Bring them over there. I'm sure they've done some European stuff, but this is what I'm saying. You pay your dues, that's fine. If you don't, well, you know, it's not your time yet.
Well, you know, Paulette and I are going to be in Spain during the month of July, and we're going to be all over Spain. And I'm going to put my feelers out and just try to find what's going on. I know in Barcelona they do a couple of oldie shows. I want to see what's going on in Madrid. There's got to be a market for it. And, you know, maybe we'll just, be very creative and...
I got an email and a call from a guy from Quebec, Canada.
Okay.
That wants us to, he wants to bring us to France.
Wow.
Which is fine.
Sure.
You know, to his 50s festival.
Okay.
So that's fine with us, you know, that's great. You know, but again, you want the authentic sound? Well, this is where it's at.
Right.
You know, I mean, I don't want to mention any names, but,
right.
you know, like I said, if you don't pay your dues, I'm not big into European groups singing my music.
All right.
Or music. I mean, that's the way I feel. And that's the way it is. You know, I just, that's the way it is. I mean, you
well,
know.
You know, I guess the way to get around that is to put it together and explain exactly what it is. Nouveau doo-wop by groups that are emulating what... we all put down originally.
Right, right. And that's a good way to put it. I mean, there's the Norris Tones.
Right.
Somebody asked me, well, we're going to do a show in Pennsylvania, but wait a minute, you got the Norris Tones. The Norris Tones are a good group, and they were like, I don't know how many miles from where the show was.
Right.
But they don't even, I mean, look around and find out who's in the area.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's amazing. That's why... I believe you're part of the consortium that they have started, that we're trying to feature these new groups.
Right.
And have these promoters realize that, wait a minute now, you know, there are groups here, Lola and the Saints. These people are tremendous.
Right.
So, you know, they're going to carry the banner.
Well, you know, what's really funny, when you talk about Lola and the Saints and all of that, I mean, I go back with Lola all the way back, to one of my keyboard players who I started when he was 15 years old. Alan played with Tom and Lola in a Long Island group that they had. And, of course, I did many shows with Lola when Lola was part of Joe Frazier and the Impalas and whatever.
Yeah.
And, you know, here they are. And, it's you know, guys like Jim McGreevy who, you know, did you not read today that Jim McGreevy got a tattoo that says, I love doo-wop?
No, I didn't see that.
Well, let me tell you.
Jim's a good friend of mine, so we're always in contact with
And Jim actually, you know, the next time you talk to him, ask him about his tattoo. He got a tattoo on his forearm that says, I love doo-wop. And you know what I said to him? I said, boy, am I glad you didn't get it on your forehead.
Yeah. I didn't know that. I'll have to ask you when I talk to him next time. Yeah. You know, getting back to, you know, you got Lola, you got... this new group out there in Vegas, the Tones.
Uh-huh.
Unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable. Never get a shot. But yet, we'll have groups there from Spain.
Right.
Or from England.
Mm-hmm.
Or from France. And you got a tremendous group, a cappella group, from Vegas called the Tones.
Right.
And they will never be heard by anybody.
Wow.
You know. So, you know. But they'll be heard by me because I got it on my show, and they're going to be on the jukebox, the website.
Well, you know what? While we're talking about everything else, Tell me about your radio show.
Well, it's 1 hour. In fact, the same time as your show.
Right now it is because I've changed times. But you know,
yes.
But really and truly, my show is archived in a lot of different places, and I'm sending it out, to about 8 or 10 different places at this point. You know, so it's they don't have to listen to it. I'd rather that they listened to your show, and they can find my show in other places.
Like I told you, and I tell everybody, the music, it's about the music. I'm just a messenger. We're messengers here.
Right.
You got a show. I mean, that's the way it is.
Right.
And I tell, you know, I plug you, I plug Ken Held, I plug Barry Rosen, the guys in New York. Plug everybody. The only niche that I have is that I have a live streaming video.
Right.
So people can see me doing my thing.
Right.
And that's what brings the audience in. And last week I think I had 1,990-something people there.
Wow.
Online. Unbelievable.
Well, it's like I said to you the first time that I tuned in your show and it was live on, I says, Michael, you got to get up from the board and walk around and boogie a little bit. And, you know.
So. I'm doing that somewhat now, but, you know, I don't want to break the floor.
No,
I'm losing weight as time goes, but that's, you know. But anyway, yeah, the show is Sunday nights. It's 7 o'clock Central Time.
Right.
It's only for an hour, but it's an FM station. I have a live FM.
Right.
Here in Kerrville, and the guys, the fellas that own the place or run the place, they let me do what I want to do. They don't bother me at all. It's great. You know, you want to play? I don't care what you play. You want to play all doo-wop? That's fine. You know, that's the way it is. That's the way we're going to have. The guy after me, he plays all jazz. And there is no playlist that you have to hand in to a program manager.
Right.
You know what I mean? Which is great.
Well, that's what that's really the thing about Sirius, you know. Cool Bobby B plays some pretty good stuff, but you know, other than that, I mean, you know, the Sirius 50 stuff, it's kind of pre-programmed. It's kind of like you hear the same songs over and over again, and it's what I call the middle of the road stuff, you know.
But it's too bad. Really too bad.
Mm-hmm.
You see, I have people that send me requests. I was going to the studio on Wednesdays and putting my music in. I go and put it in and do this. What I do now is, I said, well, why am I going to do that for? So Sundays now, I go in an hour earlier, put a USB with all the songs and requests, load it into the system, and then before I go on the air, I go in and I bring all these songs into the playlist.
Right.
And that's it. Well, and it helps me out because I'm not wasting too much time going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth.
Well, not only that, your collection is amazing, and you know, you have so much stuff to choose from. You know, I mean, when I get stumped, I just go to your site and I go,
don't forget now, Bruce Wolf and Jersey Jack.
Right.
If I don't have something, boy, they're right there with it.
Oh, yeah.
Because these guys, they know, they want to get that music. They love the music.
Yeah, well, Bruce is a man. I know Bruce for years, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I go to Bruce if I can't, you know, if I don't have something. I mean, I have, you know, my system is, I don't know how many, I got like, I don't know, 4 terabytes here. We're always like insane.
Right.
You know, because of my work also, you know, my business.
Right.
But, you know, it's just out of control, the music. But I do have a forum. I don't know if you've been involved with that forum.
Well, I've seen it, yeah.
Yeah, well, there's like, I don't know, 700, 800, 900 people on there.
Right.
There's like 30,000 posts.
Right.
And those are all the aficionados that are on that deal.
And it's funny how sometimes they get on there and they argue with each other.
Oh, yeah, yeah. What I did was I broke it down to radio shows and DJs.
Right.
And I broke it down to groups. So if a group is going to have a performance, they go in there, they put the name of the group, and what the performance is going to be. And the same thing with the DJs. They go in there and they put their show, they want to plug their show, that's fine. And it's no cost to anybody. I absorb everything.
Right.
You know, so that's the way it is. And that's the way it probably will be like that until I'm out of here. But it's about the music. And you know that. I know that. Everybody knows that.
So if people want to go to the doo-wop jukebox, you know, and they're on the net and they just want to see what's going on, what do they type in?
Well, you go to Google and you can search doo-wop.
Okay.
That's it. You're right there. Doo-wop or doo-wop music, New York doo-wop, New York sound.
All right.
Anything like that. Because it's page one, number one or two.
So it's it's doopjukebox.com, right?
Doopjukebox.com. There's 8,000 songs on there now.
Right.
And I try to put, you know, as many as I can on. I didn't put any on May, but I did put May and June on together.
Right.
So and then I'll put some stuff on in July. You know, there's 8,000 songs on there, and again, you know, the person that is not a collector and just wants to go in there and say, "What the heck is it? Who the heck is this? Where'd this come from?
Right.
How come I never heard this?" And that piques their interest, and they start going down the line.
Well, you know, there were certain tunes like, you know, "It's Not Every Day That You Hear the Girl I Love" by the Glow Tones. It's not every day that you hear certain other tunes, you know.
Right, exactly. Exactly. In fact, a lot of those tunes, most people never heard.
That's true.
But they're tremendous.
Oh, you bet.
You know, and that is my mission, to get that out there so they understand that there was other, you know, other groups out there and other songs out there and, you know, phenomenal.
You know, what's really funny is that I remember, and I discussed this with Don, I said, Don used to somehow sneak every weekend The Stars by the Ocapellas.
Yeah.
Everywhere. And you know, I'm saying to myself, here's this song, and you know, what a great song.
Phenomenal.
That song really should have been in the top 20.
That's right.
And a lot of people don't know what it is.
No idea, right.
You know, and yet there's some really, really good stuff that doesn't
get
heard. And some flip sides that don't get heard.
Yeah, I mean, I play songs for my group. I think it's the one we're going to start doing now is, there's so many. I got 50,000 songs in my head.
Uh-huh.
And I'm just trying to think of one right now. "If I Had to Go Away, Would You Still Be Mine?"
Right.
"Would You Still Be Mine?" I think it's by the Embers.
Right.
And absolutely incredible stuff.
There's
so much of it, Michael. You know that.
Yeah. You know.
I get goosebumps. I think it's
yeah, I know. This music does give you goosebumps, but you gotta understand it to get the goosebumps. I mean, you know, because it's and you know what's really funny is people say, you know, doo-wop, it's simple. It's four chords. It's not simple. It's you know, when you sing it, you realize how not simple it is.
That's right, and I can attest to that because I've had people. I put it there in the paper. I keep it in there because you never know.
Right.
And I got a call about a month ago from this woman, you know, that says, "Listen, I'm answering your ad." I said, "Why? Because I forget about it." "What ad?" I said, "Oh," she said, "the singer." "Oh," I said, "yeah."
Right.
I said, "That's, you know, that's great." I said, "You know, what do you sing?" She says, "Well, I've sang opera and this, that, and everything else."
Right.
"I sang in choruses. I've done this, that." I said, "Well, go to themoonlights.com.
Right.
That'll give you an idea of what we do."
Right.
And I said, "If you think you can handle that, you give me a call back."
Right.
They never call back.
No. Well, you know, here's the deal. I remember when I put Harmony Street together, and it's a long story as to how I got back to the music. My brother got sick, and he was, you know, and I was saying, really, the only thing that's ever healed me, you know, in my life when I've been the lowest points, you know, has been the music. The music, you always go back to the music. It's always there for you. But I started to put Harmony Street together, and I got calls from people. "I sang with this group, and I sang with that group, and I sang with this group." And then they'd come over the house, and you'd listen, and you say, "Oh, my goodness, you know, I'll call you," you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then, of course, I got that one phone call from Dee Heverin, and she said, "I sing with two other girls. Can we come over?" And I said, "Three girls?" I wasn't thinking that, but they came over, and it was like from heaven. And then I spent the next, like, 20-some-odd years singing with three girls that, you know, sang like angels and were always on pitch. And I got very spoiled for a long period of time.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Yeah. It's, you know, I had a girl in this group here.
Yep.
And, you know, she's had to leave because it was just, you know, me starring me. And that's not the way it's going to be around
with
anything that I sing in.
Right.
This is a... There's five people.
Right.
There's no leader here. I mean, as far as the music is concerned.
Right.
Since I know it, you know, that's the way it's got to be.
Right. I hear you. You know, it's
you know what it is. You know.
Well, with Harmony Street, I said if you listen to what I, because they really weren't doo-wop wise. As a matter of fact, Dee even said on Don K. Reed's show, she said, you know, when we came over to Mike's house, I said, "Well, you know, we're going to be doing doo-wop here." And she said, "What's doo-wop?" So Don said, "You come on my show and you utter the words, 'What's doo-wop?' You know, what's that all about?" She says, "Well, we really were not that doo-wop wise." And Mike taught us everything and whatever. And I told him, if you listen to me and listen very carefully, this will be a success. And let me tell you, there were times, like even after we had been together for a year, and I said, you know something? That sucks. We need to tighten this up. And then we started listening and recording and listening back and videotaping and listening back. And eventually, it's like Jimmy Beaumont. Jimmy told me, he says, man, you should have heard the Skyliners when we first got together, man. It was atrocious. We worked really hard to get tight.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we have a sixth guy now. We brought in a guy because we're getting busy now, thank God.
Yeah.
You know, and we brought in a fella now that he's going to be in the wings in case he gets sick or whatever it is.
Uh-huh.
And he's pretty good. You know, I got to say that, he's pretty good. But if I try to correct him, he gets a little mad. And I'm all upset. I said, well, listen, there's the door. This is the way this has got to be sung.
Look.
You have to do it this way.
Look, in rehearsal, that's the place where you beat each other up and you bleed and you get on each other's nerves and whatever, but it's all done because of the creativity and it's all done, you know, for the music. And you know, as soon as rehearsal stops, all of that crap stays there.
Yeah, of course, and that's the way it should be.
But you gotta really, you know, because I'll tell you, you know, we used to have some groups, you know, it's like they come over, they spend half the night bullshitting, and then, you know, it's like, okay, and then you sing the song twice, and everybody goes home and goes back to their place after they've driven for 45 minutes.
Yeah.
And I'm saying, that doesn't happen when I have a rehearsal, man. You bleed. You're going to sing that song until you can't stand it anymore, and that's how you know it.
And that's the way it's going to be. Now, I got this fellow that's Louis. I made him musical director.
Right.
Because he reads, writes music, and he's really into it.
Uh-huh.
You give this guy a song. If I send him an MP3,
right.
Okay, Louis, maybe you should try Leon on it. He comes back the next week. He knows the words, the melody.
Right.
The whole nine yards.
Right. And he can.
And that's what it's like. You know, it's great.
That's why my guitar background, you know, there's no really margin for error. I can strip the chord down and I can say, these are the notes of the triad. It's right here, you know. And when one guy's singing a note, and I've had this argument with people that I've worked with, he says, but, you know, I'm singing this note, man. That's the way we sang it on the street corner. I'm saying, it's not in the chord, man.
That's
it's
right.
It's this chord. I don't care where you sang it.
That's right.
It's not there.
Well, the Bonaires use a toy piano.
Right.
And that's all we use.
That's all you need.
The good old days.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun. It was fun now. You know, we got a big gig coming up. I think I made the fatal mistake of okaying 3 45-minute sets, acapella. July 4th in South Texas, outside. I mean, that's going to be it for me.
All right, so you're going to sing some songs that you don't know that the group can even sing, you know, because people say, okay, when you get to the point like Maestro used to do in his act, he would say, sometimes when he used to do two shows, at the end of the second show, he would say, all right, call them out. And they would call out a song, and he'd go, nope, that's not it.
Yeah. Well, what we plan to do is bring people up.
Hey, do My Husband and Your Wife. Nope, that's not it.
Yeah. Well, we're going to bring people up.
Uh-huh.
So come on up and sing a song, and we'll back you. See what it feels like.
Hey.
That works all the time, you know.
Why not?
Yeah, absolutely.
So
about 45 songs, Michael. That's a lot of singing.
Yeah, it is, especially for
acapella.
Oh yeah, you bet, man. You bet. Oh come on, you know when we were kids, we used to sing until we couldn't talk the next day.
Yeah, I agree. But I'm 67 years old now, and the heat, you know, and I was 100 pounds lighter.
Uh huh.
So yeah, but it's going to be fun. I'm really looking forward to it. Then we got to go. After we get done with that deal, 4 o'clock, we got to go to another gig at 6.
Wow. Oh, so you're double booking now. Okay, man, that's like Stan Ziska. Stan, you know, the 7 days a week, Stan has like 9 gigs every week.
Well, you know, we're not that fortunate, but it's getting that way. We have one on July 10th, one July 24th.
Yep.
And it's starting to get, you know, because we're the only doo-wop group in the state of Texas.
Uh-huh.
Singing a cappella, or even this, you know, I mean, we don't sing, you know, we'll sing a little Teenager Love and stuff like that.
Right.
Well, you know, we sing What Time Is It?
Right.
You know, that groups don't do.
Right. I hear you.
That makes it more, you know, more fun.
Yeah, there were a lot of tunes that a lot of groups, you know, they don't tackle because they say, you know, We're just not up to it. And, you know, that's what separates the men from the boys. So let me ask you something. Is there anything you want to say philosophically? Is there anything you want to say about the music that you would like people to hear from Mike Palladino?
No, just, you know, like I said, I am the messenger, and like you are the messenger, and I'm always willing to do an interview. I mean, you know, not having the shot that a lot of these guys had,
right?
You know, I'm still there. I'm still trying to do what I can do for whoever,
right?
And you know, I'm always willing to talk to anybody about it. Always willing to help anybody out about it. And you know, just keep listening and don't let it die in. I mean, I go after the younger kids, and they seem to really enjoy it because you can really feel it.
Well, you know. I have this to say. There is nobody in the business, even the guys that have the million-selling hits, that don't know about Mike Palladino and the Doo-Wop Jukebox, because it's really become the mecca of, you know, on the Internet, which is the new way, you know, as far as finding this music and hearing the tunes that you can't find anywhere else. And it's because your love of the music and the fact that you just want to see it go on and on.
Yeah, and before I forget, your listeners have a group, you know, that's, of course, I listen to everything, of course. You're not going to put, you know, anything on there that's not worth being listened to. But they have a group, and they feel it's good, and they want to get their song on that website.
Right.
Just tell them to send me an MP3. I'll be glad to put it up there.
Well, you know what's funny, too? I mean, I get so many CDs all the time. I mean, people are always mailing me CDs. Play my stuff. I mean, you know. Like Pat Yocalano will send me a new thing, or you know, this group or that. You know, I mean, spin the wheel as far as groups, you know, and groups going into the recording studio now. I mean, you know, we said it. I mean, you know, Lola and the Saints. I mean, and they're working on a new CD now that should be dynamite. I just love the energy and the creativity that they put into doing their stuff. They're getting the thing about Lola and the Saints is they're getting better and better all the time.
Yeah, well, you know, she had emailed me and said that they were going to do My Heart's Desire. I said,
right.
I'd love to hear that. You know, don't forget now, the Manhattan Transfer came to us and asked us, you know, would you mind if we used your
arrangement?
Yeah, your arrangement. Would you mind? Are you kidding me?
Wow.
Knock yourself out.
Thank you. keep on loving you so. You're my heart's desire. You're my heart's desire.
Well, look, Tim Howes is a great guy. He said to me once about Harmony Street. He once, he knew all about us and had heard us. And he said to me once, I'll tell you what, man, you guys are as good as we are. We're just better produced. And I said, get out of here. Come on.
Well, you know, he's that kind of guy he is.
Yep.
You know, I mean, we know him. We knew him before the Manhattan Transfer.
He's a Jersey guy, and yeah. his roots would do up. His roots would do up.
Yeah, he came to our shows all the time.
I mean,
and he asked us about My Heart's Desire. Would you mind if we? And it was starting to really pick up then. TV show. They had
yeah.
Phone. I was sure. Are you kidding me,
Michael? It's always a pleasure to talk to you, and we always talk about great things. I mean, we could talk for hours and hours and hours about this music, and we usually do. I mean,
yeah,
you know, we talk a few times.
Right.
We
right.
talk
and
a few times a week.
I'm waiting for the day
yep.
that we can finally be on the same stage together.
It'll happen.
Coming soon.
You got to send it out to the universe.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
But anyway, let me just close in saying that my good friend Mike Palladino from Texas, it's been my pleasure to have you on the Harmony Street Show, and to listen to the wonderful sound of the Bonaires, who to my way of thinking is one of the best a cappella groups that ever sang this music, and it's my thrill to be your friend, and we'll be friends forever.
Oh, yeah, and I'm really, really glad you called. I mean, I'm thrilled that you asked me to interview for you on your show. That's great.
Oh, absolutely, because, you know, it's like you deserve to be there because you are a bigger part of this music than you possibly humbly portray.
Yeah, I wouldn't even go there. I mean, like, I'm just a messenger. That's as far as I will go with that, but... You know, I'm just glad that people appreciate the music that is out there now. And of course, you know, I will say that I appreciate the all the compliments on the work that we did. You know, with the Bonaires.
Oh yeah.
Today, you know.
Oh
that,
yeah. Well, I'm not the
really
only one.
Inspiring.
I'm not the only one that thinks so. So.
Okay, Michael, and say hello to everybody for me out there on your show, man. Please.
I will do that. I will
hey,
do
all
that.
All right. Okay, buddy. Bye bye.
Okay.
Okay, man. All right, man.
All right, Michael. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Hey, this is Mike Miller. I'd like to say goodbye. On home.